It's time for your North Iowa News on KCHA for Thursday, February 12th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. A Northeast Iowa man has agreed to plead guilty to charges from a home invasion over a year and a half ago. Howard County court records showed that 28-year-old Kevin Bell of Waukon has pleaded guilty to two counts of second-degree burglary, Class C felonies, plus going armed with intent, a Class D felony, and use of a dangerous weapon in commission of a crime, an aggravated misdemeanor. According to criminal complaints filed by the Cresco Police Department, Bell entered a home in the 700 block of 3rd Avenue East in Cresco around 3 a.m. on the morning of August 25, 2024. Investigators said Bell forced his way into the home and assaulted several people inside, including a woman and her son. CPD said Bell then left the residence, but then later returned to the home with a firearm and said, "Give me a reason." Court documents state Bell then left again and returned a second time, this time with a carjack he used to break a window and force his way into the home again. Bell entered his guilty plea on Tuesday and is scheduled for sentencing April 13th in Howard County District Court. A trial delay appears likely for a Charles City man facing assault charges from two separate arrests almost 1 month apart. The most recent arrest of 42-year-old Wyatt Jacobs by Charles City Police came following a report of an assault in the 900 block of South Johnson Street in the early morning hours of December 15th. Jacobs is charged with domestic abuse assault, third or subsequent offense, and third-degree burglary, both Class D felonies. According to criminal complaints, Jacobs is accused of using a ladder to enter the female victim's residence, breaking through an upstairs bathroom window. The woman stated she was awakened by Jacobs screaming at her before he struck her in the face and threw an ottoman that hit her in the back. The victim fled the home for her safety and was later located at a nearby residence. CCPD says a ladder was found tipped over in the backyard, plus broken glass and fresh footprints in the snow. There was also fresh blood on the handle of a sliding door and more blood droplets on the porch inside. Jacobs was also arrested November 16th for allegedly assaulting the same woman by pushing her, then poking and jabbing her with a broom. CCPD also says Jacobs was uncooperative when he was taken to Floyd County Medical Center for medical attention, and at the Floyd County Jail, he was accused of making verbal threats towards peace officers and jail staff. Jacobs remains held in the Floyd County Jail on a combined $11,000 cash-only bond after a Floyd County District Court judge last week denied his request for bail reduction. On Wednesday, he waived his right to a speedy trial, and his attorney filed motion for a continuance of Jacobs' trial, currently scheduled for next Tuesday. Court records show Jacobs was convicted of drug possession and disorderly conduct last October, for which he was sentenced to 12 days in jail. In August of last year, Jacobs was convicted for fifth-degree theft after he walked out of Hy-Vee in Charles City without paying for almost $150 in grocery items. Chickasaw County officials debated the county's purchase policy during the regular Board of Supervisors meeting earlier this week. The county's purchase policy calls for purchases over $10,000 to be approved by the board. Still, supervisors signed off on claims for over $11,000 to update body cameras for the sheriff's office that were not approved prior to the expenditure by Sheriff Ryan Shaver. Board Chair Jacob Hackman expressed frustration for supervisors trying to enforce the purchase policy.
And see, this is when people come and complain to us as we are supervisors of spending money and this and that. It's just a sad day when we try to make policy and some departments don't want to follow it. Again, why do we have it? If you guys want to change that policy, let me know, because I think it's as good as we wrote black ink. Otherwise, throw up a trash can. I've said that before.
County Attorney David Lauder acknowledged the struggle for supervisors.
It's an internal policy. It is. So it's, I don't know what your sanction or what your remedy is. Legally, if push came to shove, if he has the money to spend it in his budget, he can spend it.
I get that.
So it's your internal policy. I don't know how you police it, for lack of a better word.
Laudner also noted that while the supervisors can set department budgets, there are limitations as to what they can do after that.
So, I mean, if I come in and ask for a $400,000 budget, you give it to me, and I'm spending $20,000 on a vehicle for my office or, you know, software for my office or whatever it might be that's outside of your control, I'm ultimately answerable as elected officials to the voters every 4 years, just like you guys are.
Correct.
So, I mean, you can write whatever policy you want. We've had this discussion.
Yep.
But ultimately, once you give them the money outside of a very narrow area of spending, the vast majority of the money that the department heads and elected officials spend is not under your control anymore.
In other business involving the sheriff's office, supervisors approved the purchase of a new patrol vehicle for about $56,000, with the expense to come out of the department's current fiscal year budget. Stakeholders in the New Hampton School District are encouraged to attend tonight's facilities assessment presentation in the elementary school auditorium. Superintendent Eric Smith says they've been working with PRA Architectures to study all school buildings, a process that started back in September.
Doing a virtual mapping of all of our buildings and then bringing in an engineering firm to look at our plumbing, the HVAC, the stuff outside of sort of the scope of general architecture, and just, again, reviewing all the buildings. And then they went through another process of sort of educational adequacy, meeting with our staff, meeting with the administration, and just having conversations about how we're using our buildings and coming up with sort of their, not just the conditions of the buildings, but are we utilizing our space and is it being utilized in an adequate way as well.
Smith notes that while New Hampton Elementary is the oldest building in the school district, it's still fully functional despite some limitations.
It is an aging building, right, with that original 1915 building. So obviously, right, we're getting to a spot where that's 111 years old now, and it's certainly in good shape when you look at it for being there for 100 and some years. However, some of those things are coming up as far as usability and accessibility and some of the things that you don't always see with your naked eye.
Attendees wanting a firsthand look themselves can take a tour of the elementary building after the facilities assessment presentation. Smith adds that how they approach building issues going forward will fall into one of three categories.
The 0 to 2 year items, which they would be considered poor condition. That second level is the fair to poor, 3 to 5 years. And then level three is those items that are fair, which would be a 6 to 10 year, you know, as far as a prioritized maintenance list. So those three levels, 0, 2, 3 to 5, and 6 to 10.
The facilities assessment presentation is hosted by the New Hampton School Board with a special meeting starting at 6:30 this evening, again in the elementary school auditorium. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.